Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the word of the Lord. Many of you know, some of you might not know, I grew up out in Upper Pine Creek on a roughly 80-acre block of hardwoods owned by my family. And on that 80 acres were some of the tallest maples, oaks, ironwoods, popples, birches, and various evergreens that you can imagine. And even though anyone who knows me will tell you I'm not an outdoors sort of guy, even I knew those woods. You could drop me anywhere in that 80 acres, I'd find my way around just fine. Same with my brothers and I, and we'd run around, we'd build forts, build tree houses. There's a funny story about a bee's nest that we found. Ask me outside the sermon sometime if you want to hear that one. We blazed trails, climbed trees, did all that stuff. And I remember when I was in sixth grade, I had an assignment to do a leaf collection. And I had to learn to identify different kinds of leaves. And so I went out into the woods, found the different leaves, learned how to identify them, put them in a book, gave them their proper label. I learned how that, for example, silver maple leaves have that kind of shiny, fuzzy, white underside to the leaf. I learned that pine trees had needles that laid flat, while spruce trees, the needles went all the way around the branch, all that stuff. Well, when I got into high school, my family allowed, I don't remember who it was, if it was for the mill or some company wanted to come in and do some logging on our property. So they did that. And one of the problems after they did that was they left all these treetops and branches laying around all over the floor of the woods. And it kind of destroyed the beauty of the forest. I mean, taking down some trees is one thing. I mean, we need trees, we need paper. But such a mess was left there afterwards. Now, where you had this life and vitality of all these trees, there's just a bunch of branches. And you know what happens to those branches that just lay there? They dry up and they die and they rot away. Now, every single one of us understands how this works. The tree gives life to the branch and the leaves that are on them. Once the branch is removed from the tree, it withers and dies. It's really only fit for burning. Nature has a way of teaching us lessons about the Christian faith. And Jesus did this all the time in his teachings. A sower sowing seed in a field. A fig tree that doesn't bear fruit. It's cut down and burned. Life requires being connected to a source of life. Children learn this lesson from their parents, that from the time they're born, they depend on the life given to them from their mother and father. They need nourishment and care and protection. Last week we heard about Jesus as the good shepherd and that he lays down his life for the sheep. Maybe that's a little bit difficult for us to wrap our brains around because, I mean, there aren't many shepherds around anymore. In fact, some of you probably never even seen a sheep, let alone taken care of one. But this image today of Jesus as the true vine makes sense. It should make perfect sense to you and me. He is the one that gives life. He is the vine, and you and I are the branches. When you and I are connected to him, there is nourishment, there is strengthening, there is growth. The relationship between Jesus and the Christian is comparable to a branch that receives everything from the vine, everything from a tree, from a life-giving source. Every branch connected to the vine lives and produces fruit. Every branch that gets cut off withers, dies, and is burned. So the message here is simple. Some pastors like to preach three-point sermons, and I've done that on occasion, but this is a one-point sermon. There's one thing to remember today. Jesus' words, abide in the vine. Remain in the vine. Center your life around receiving the nourishment that comes only from the vine, Jesus Christ. Jesus couldn't give us any more clear of an illustration. The branch that is connected to the vine lives and produces fruit. The branch that becomes useless and poisons the other branches gets cut off and burned. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. It makes perfect sense about all those useless branches lying on the floor of the Rouge 80 were good for, was burning. And Jesus cuts off that which is rotten, that it may be burned. What does your life as one of Christ's branches look like? Well, Jesus tells us that God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who prunes the branches so that it may bear more fruit. You see, there's a very big difference between pruning a vine or a tree and just lopping off branches. Sometimes it's necessary to cut off the dead parts of plants so that the rest of it will flourish. I remember at my first church in Garrison, Minnesota, the ladies of the altar guild had this peace lily that they kept out in the front of the church. And this thing was amazing. I have no idea how old it was. All I know is it was there when I got there, and it was there 5 years later when I left. I remember that there were times I was sure that thing was dead, that it was just ugly, and why would we have something ugly in the front of the church? And I remember saying to the ladies, shouldn't we get rid of this thing and just throw it away? It's ugly. It's useless. But sure enough, these ladies had a way of just pruning it perfectly. They cut off a branch here, a dried up blossom there, and sure enough, that thing would perk right back up. Because when you cut off what's dead, it's what keeps the entire plant healthy. And that's what happens exactly every time you and I are confronted with God's law. Every time you and I are faced with the need to confess our sins. It's why we preach sin and judgment and unrighteousness that is within us. Because if you do not prune it, it kills you. In Hebrews 4, the writer uses a great illustration for us. He says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's a really helpful description because one of the things that God's word does is it cuts us. As you and me in our daily lives encounter God's word in our devotions, in sermons and the reading of Holy Scripture, in our own meditation, one of the things that the word does is cut us with the law. It shows us that we are wretched. We are miserable. We are indeed poor, miserable sinners. That the hymn, "Chief of Sinners, Though I Be," does apply to each of us. Because while you may think you know the depth of everyone else's sin, only you can see the depth of your own heart. And I tell you, if you plumb the depths of your own heart, you'll find incredible blackness, misery, evil, and wickedness. Every single one of us, like St. Paul in Romans 1, can call ourselves the chief of sinners. Because the only sin we can fully acknowledge is that which is within us. In confirmation class, I teach the kids, this is not mine, this has been used by so many other pastors before me, the little acronym SOS shows our sins. The law of God shows our sins. And that same law prepares us, that law that cuts us and reveals our wickedness and our depth of sin, it prepares us to hear the gospel, which also SOS shows our Savior. That's how God's word prunes us. It cuts out what is dead, what is sinful by means of the law, and it heals us by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people who are pruned by the Father then become branches that bear more fruit. Everyone loves to hear a word that makes them feel good. But there are words that our Father speaks to us that cut us. There are words that, in the words of Hebrews 4, where the word is a two-edged sword, says it pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You may think you can come in on a Sunday morning and everything's hidden, everything's good, everything's covered up. But God's word reveals it all. Reveals the sin, reveals the guilt, and more importantly, reveals the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a word that will make you feel good, that gives you butterflies in your stomach and causes you to swoon, you can probably find that word. You can probably find someone to speak that kind of word to you. But it won't be the word of God. You will know you've heard the word of God when it does two things. It cuts you with the reality of your sin, your guilt, and your shame. And it gives you the sweet, sweet gospel of Jesus Christ that says your true vine, Jesus, has given you hope, life, and salvation in his death for your sin, in his resurrection to grant you life. This is the word, the vine itself in which we abide. This is what produces fruit for us, the people of God. In order to be what God has called us to be. And I think that's what so many people are seeking. They just want to know that they're doing what God calls them to do. Be a branch that is pruned by the law and healed by the gospel. Abide in the word, in the sacraments. That person produces fruit. That's what exactly Paul is talking about in Galatians 5 when he calls it fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are produced in the life of every branch that abides in the vine. It's the recipe for being a faithful Christian, the recipe for being a healthy congregation. It's simple that we abide in the vine. We confess our sin. We study the Word of God. We receive His Holy Supper. And when we, the branches, do that, we produce fruit. Now, if I had to ask you to picture a tree or a vine in your mind, you would picture something that had, in the case of a tree, a trunk in the center filled with leafy branches, right? Or if you're picturing a vine, some long sort of stalk with all kinds of branches and green leaves coming off of it. But if I asked you to picture a branch, be it from a tree or from a vine, you'd never call that branch by itself a tree. And yet when you picture a tree or a vine, you always picture the branches with it. Jesus Christ, the true vine, is a vine that includes branches. A vine that includes you. Because you are one with him. You are a part of him. And he wants you to know that you are connected to him. And he wants you to have his gifts every day for the rest of your life. So come and receive those gifts. See what kind of fruit God will produce in you. Hear that word of God. Eat the meal of Holy Communion. View it as precious, as the single most valuable thing that you have been given. That you are connected to the vine, Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, abide in the vine. Let nothing ever be more important for you as an individual Christian, for us as a congregation, than the fact that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, shed his blood upon the cross, offered us forgiveness through his holy blood. In fact, he gives us that body and that blood to feast upon this morning. Nothing, I repeat, nothing is more important than this life. Today and every single day, you are branches of the true vine, Jesus Christ our Lord. Today and every single day, he promises to nourish you and feed you, to make you branches that produce fruit for his kingdom. Be a branch. Be a branch by remaining in the vine and receiving the life that comes only from him. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.